Major blow to the January 6th Select Committee. They wanted everybody in America to pay attention to these hearings, and most people are not. Some people were. Of course, you and I were. We spent a lot of time on this channel unpacking everything that was going on. We have a mind map that's available, and people were following along. We were really taking a look at every single argument with a fine-tooth comb with a microscope to see what they're talking about. That's what they wanted. They wanted little sound bites that they could put on Twitter and people would retweet and share with their friends and text it. Did you see what Trump did? And all of that. But now YouTube may not allow that message to continue on. YouTube, according to the New York Times, in fact, censored one of the videos that the January 6th Select Committee posted on their YouTube channel. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, because I'm a little bit in a panic mode because we've been covering the same hearings. And I'm thinking to myself, what if they're dinging the actual committee's channel? What are they going to do to our channel? And so as soon as I got the note on this thing, I went and I deleted all three of the live streams that we spent a painful amount of hours going through together, day after day, hour after hour, long pause after long pause with Judge Luttig. I mean, we were all going to collectively jump out the window because it was so painful. I had to delete them because YouTube, as we see here, is deleting the videos even on the Select Committee's own YouTube page. They're going to say they're not even above the policy. And so let's take a look at this article from the New York Times. You can see it came out yesterday, June 16th. It says YouTube deleted a January 6th committee video that included Trump's election lies. And, you know, I was a little bit concerned about this when we started this undertaking of chronicling this saga, because remember, we have been dancing, tiptoeing around this thing very, very precariously for quite some time. We covered all of the litigation that led up to the 2020 election. Remember all of the elections, sort of lawsuits that were being filed in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and all over the place. And then January 6th happened, and we covered a lot of the post-election litigation that came out before January 6th, right? Everything after the election, basically from that interim between November 3rd all the way up to January 6th. And then immediately after January 6th, they're like, all right, that's enough out of you, Rob. You can't keep talking about this stuff anymore. And so they changed the rules. And they introduced this rule. It's called the election misinformation policy. Here it is on YouTube community guidelines. And so, you know, I know many of you watching at home, you don't pay attention to these things because why would you? You know, you just watch the content. You say, that's a pretty nice thing. And you don't think about these things. But when it like directly interferes with what we can talk about, I have to dive into it and explain it to you because it's like deterring, it's altering what we're talking about. Like, we're not going to be covering this anymore because YouTube is saying that you really can't dig into it. So here's the point. I was showing you this. Here it says election integrity is prohibited. Content that advances false claims that widespread problems change the course of the election, right? Can't say that. Can't talk about that at all. Any past U.S. presidential election is forbidden. It also gives us some examples. It says claims that a candidate won a swing state by, some problem with some machine somewhere. Not good. Claims that fake something or others were dropped off somewhere, right? It's all not good. You can't say that stuff. You can't talk about it anymore. And, you know, I understood this sort of perspective from, you know, a very lefty point of view. They hated Donald Trump and he got on there and he was, you know, saying things from podiums and it was really angering a lot of people. And, you know, he was no longer the dutifully elected president, according to them, and he was on his way out. And so he was up there at the podium out there on January 6th in front of the Capitol, you know, saying certain things. And they said, that's enough. That was dangerous. That caused the insurrection. And so they made that the change. But that was like a Trump, right? And wasn't this change sort of to deal with the extremists, these people that are sort of out on the fringe, like Donald Trump was far out there. But this is like, this is supposed to be a legally, according to them, constituted body, a perfectly legitimate select committee that has the ability to talk about these things. And so they won't even allow this to be played on their own YouTube channel. It's like shocking to me. So then what can we talk about? This is government sanctioned stuff, according to them. All right, let's see what the article tells us. It says here, this is the problematic scene. You can see here the store brand Justice Squad Democrats are there. The article tells us that the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th riot has been trying to draw more eyes to its televised hearings by uploading clips of the proceedings online. But YouTube has removed those videos from its platform, saying the committee was advancing election misinformation. Oh my goodness. Election misinformation from the January 6th committee. Wow. So their video came down. Now, this story is not going to give us any details about this, whether the channel gets a strike and whether they're going to be banned for 7 days for violating that policy. I don't know. Because remember, those of you who followed along with us for some time, we got a strike for the medical misinformation policy violation because we were talking about a policy that was actually in place at the time that then was not in place after the CDC changed the rules 37 million times. Our video, which was true at the time, suddenly wasn't true anymore. And then they said, "Up, medical misinformation, you're a terrorist." Okay, so we got suspended and, couldn't post anything for a week. And it was, felt really bad. They made us call our mothers, and all that stuff and tell her what happened. So we did. She said, "Rob, I know." So anyways, it's this round and around we go. We got a strike here. I don't know if they got a strike or what happened. It says the excerpt, which was uploaded on June 14th, which would have been on Monday. Let's check that date before I move on. That's on the third Tuesday. Uploaded on Tuesday from the Monday hearing. Okay. The excerpt, it says the problem, it came from Bill Barr, right? He was saying something at the time. The problem for YouTube, according to New York Times, says was the video was also including a clip of former President Trump sharing lies about the election on the Fox Business Channel. And, like I said, we were tiptoeing around this here on our live streams. We did all three of the first hearings. The third one was, we probably cumulatively did, 12 hours of streaming. It was a lot of time. And there were those moments that popped up. And I'm sitting here going, "Phew, yikes, did they just play this here on YouTube?" It's kind of like when you're sitting at the movies or when you're watching a TV show with your parents and something comes up on the screen and you're all like looking at each other like, "All right, hopefully this scene's over here real soon, because this is awkward." That's kind of how I felt with you guys here. I was watching this. I'm like, "Uh-oh. Well, we're in deep doo-doo because of this going on." But at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, this is a legitimate government body, they keep telling us. They keep perfectly legally constituted, the shall, 13 members, none of that matters. And it's all just perfectly above board. So I'm thinking, okay. And we even had a conversation about this in a Law Tube little conversation. Somebody was asking if we were streaming this. And I said, "Yeah, we are. We're like tap dancing around a minefield over here." And I'm sort of, having to field it in real time. But I'm not sure, that YouTube's going to be upset about it because it's coming from the Select Committee, right? In other words, context matters. It's not Donald Trump saying these things. It's the Select Committee saying these things. And we're wrapping it in context so we can have conversations about this, right? Should be perfectly legitimate in a reasonably free society. And so I was sort of banking on that. Turns out that's not the case. Here is the clip. Obviously, we're not going to play it here. But what looked like happened on their YouTube channel is that they got this little gray box of doom. Apparently it said this video has been removed, which means you got the big no-no finger wag from YouTube. And we've gotten it. We've gotten two dings now. And, I would like to avoid another one if we can help it. And here it says this video got made private. The caption tells us a screenshot of the committee's website showing the video removal notification. The message initially said the video had been removed, Select Committee. And that was a conversation with Zoe Lofgren when she was talking about Bill Barr. And they played a lot of the Bill Barr clips. They were really enjoying this because he said, a naughty word about Donald Trump and so on and so forth. Quote from him says, "I'm not going to read that. Don't even put it on the screen. Google's text message AI bots will get mad at me and my sensor in the corner over there." I don't know what kind of weapon he brought today, but he's got something. The excerpt of the hearing did not include Mr. Barr's perspective. It stated numerous times elsewhere in the hearing, Mr. Trump's assertion was wrong. The video initially was replaced with a black box, stating that the clip had been removed from violating the terms of service, right? Which is what happened to one of our videos about Biden. And somebody from YouTube, Ivy Choi, spokeswoman, says, quote, our election integrity policy prohibits content advancing false claims that any type of problem impacted the outcome if it does not provide sufficient context. Oh, so maybe their clip was too much out of context? Well, it says we enforce our policies equally for everyone and have removed the video uploaded by the January 6th committee. The message on the video page has since been changed to this video is now private, which may mean that the select committee got special treatment. I don't know. It says here that the possibility might exist that YouTube is going to be allowing them to re-upload the video or make a change. We don't get those benefits. YouTube just says, you're a bad boy and you're in trouble. Don't upload any more content for a week. If it's a second strike, that goes out for 2 weeks. If it's a third strike, you're out of here. Don't even come back. We don't want you anymore, is what YouTube says. So that's what New York Times has for us now. This is a big problem for them, in my humble perspective on this, because this was already not getting a lot of attention on YouTube. Right. There were other content creators I know were having conversations like we were having, because I was in group messages with them talking about this, saying, here's how I'm talking about it. Right. Not going backwards. It's all forward looking, talking about due process, presumption of innocence, talking about separation of powers, talking about the constitutional framework, articulating the oppositional arguments, not to the election. Right. We're not talking about 2020. We're not relitigating that. We're talking about these issues about, you know, select committee. You've been around, you've been paying sort of as much attention as anybody. We've gone through the hearings together. So we've had to endure it together. So the point is that, you know, I thought that there'd be enough there that we would be able to properly navigate this. And the hope of the committee would be that other people would be doing that, right? They want these clips to be shared. They want this to have a ton of people paying attention. They want even people coming to our channel, even though we're making fun of them and dunking on them, because they want people to engage in the conversation, right? And sort of get riled up so that they share with their friends. Did you see what that Rob Govea and those people over there on that channel are saying? Those people are MAGA insurrectionists, right? I know. Can you believe that? And they get all riled up and they share with their friends and, you know, it's part of the game. What else is this for, if not but for that? All right. So they really wanted this to go somewhere. Now, we're not covering this thing. I don't know what the select committee is going to play. We're not going to put it live on the show and have them come on YouTube and try to cut out the rug from under us. I mean, they're striking. It sounds like they're striking the select committee's own channel. Right. And there were 150 or something thousand people who were on, I think, the Washington Post channel at one point. Right. Not insignificant. Pretty big numbers. Not anywhere close to the Hollywood trial or anything even close to resembling that. But, you know, what if other people are just start to say, OK, well, we're just not going to cover it because of YouTube's censorship policies. And you know what? Honestly, it's really funny. It's kind of serendipitous in many respects. I posted earlier today on our members forums, both on Locals or on YouTube. If you're a member on either platform, I'm posting morning videos, kind of do a walk around the neighborhood and kind of share what's going on in the headlines bright and early to get some fresh air. And on there, I said, man, you know, gosh, these January 6th hearings are just painful. You know, they're like watching paint dry. I mean, we were literally joking about that yesterday on the show, because Judge Luttig, it was just like, oh my gosh, it was really, really painful. And look, I know that me reading transcripts, like in the Michael Sussman trial, is not exactly that interesting, but there's interesting things at least happening there. We've already heard these same arguments over and over and over on January 6th. So look, I think what we'll end up doing, many of you have requested this out there as well, is just summarize what's going on in these arguments in these hearings and just synthesize it down. We'll keep the mind map going and have some sort of, you know, smaller rebuttals to that. But there's a lot of other stuff going on. And so I want to get to today some updates on the Bannon case, updates on the Navarro case, and then, of course, Julian Assange. And so because of that, because we are going to be bouncing around from topic to topic a little bit today, I'd like to forego the live show. So you'll see a couple more recorded videos coming out later. But that's the reason for the recorded videos today, and then we'll get back on the regular schedule with the live streams. But as you can see, what the impact of this was really so bad that even NBC News is reporting that it's just not moving the needle. Impeachment number 3, January 6th panel, isn't swaying these swing state Republicans tells us on June 17th, this article came out. Everybody's out here, reprehensible. Everybody's angry. It was about the quote, you know, whatever Mike Pence. It was about Washington politicians. Might as well be in impeachment number three. NBC talked to more than two dozen voters in both Washoe and Clark counties, two most populous states in Nevada, and found that the J6 committee hearings that captivated Washington not only failed to persuade these voters, but pushed them in the opposite direction. Among the sampling of Republicans, including Washoe, the swingiest county in one of the nation's swingiest states, it has hardened partisan views, spawned more conspiracies, and deepened fealty towards Donald Trump. Though a limited snapshot, unpersuaded voters underscore the near impossibility that the committee, no matter how stunning the new evidence may be, will be unable to persuade a segment of voters who remain unmoved. And that's sort of what we've been postulating here today and previously, is that a lot of this is just going to backfire. And people, I think, have made their decision on this, right? This happened 16 months ago, going to be 17 by the time September comes around. I mean, it's almost going to be 2 years on this thing. And they've heard enough of it. They've seen the saga. They've watched these politicians, you know, make mountains out of molehills while the rest of the country comes crumbling around us. And now YouTube and others are making it even more difficult to carry on the conversation. So the eyeballs that were on it are going to continue to diminish off. We'll continue to cover it. But I mean, you know, it's like mercy. It's like a game of mercy. It's like, all right. You guys win. We're not going to watch it anymore. I know it's like you don't want us to watch it. So you win. We're going to give in to you. Do whatever you want with Michael Luttig. Change the chairperson 35 times. Speed up or slow down the teleprompter, whatever you got to do. It's fine. We'll just get the cliff notes on this thing and we'll cover it. But, you know, that's what's going on YouTube. Really pretty a big blow, I think. You know, it's going to take eyeballs off of it, and it really is going to push creators off of it because they don't want to risk, you know, tap dancing around the minefield. If the YouTube committee channel themselves can be struck, could be anybody else out there. So thank you everybody for supporting your local humble content creators. You know, these things pop up and it's like, you know, you're like a strike or two away, or, you know, three really, if you're clean from getting your channel just ripped out from under you. And many people like myself, you know, we devote literally hundreds of or thousands of hours when you add up the years into these things. And so it's sort of a precarious position. So we appreciate you if you support us. I know I appreciate you when you support me, whether you join us on Locals, become a member on YouTube, whether you like the video, subscribe, share it with a friend or family member, refer our law firm. If you know anybody who's charged with a crime in the state of Arizona, links are down in the description below for all of those things. I very much appreciate all of you, and I look forward to seeing you on the next one.